This is KPOO San Francisco. Bye bye.
Let me in. I want to be closer to you. Open up your soul. Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your love.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And you know what? There is so much to be enjoyed in this Bay Area. We are so fortunate to have so many talented people here who are going to entertain us and touch our mind. One of those people is in the atmosphere right now. I'd like to welcome Landon Endo. Hello.
Hi, so great to be here.
Great to have you. So for our listening audience, tell us a little bit about your performance background.
Sure. Well, I'm a professional acrobat, and I also have been a professional dancer, actor, singer, all that kind of stuff for most of my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now I'm putting it all together to create circus theater here in the Bay.
Okay, so I love circus. I love anything with like spectacle and glitter and all of that. What was it that drove you to put together a circus show of your own?
Well, I had been performing more classic circus for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's such a special medium.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the really visceral sense of danger, you know, these death-defying stunts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it helps make the stakes higher in the theater, you know, and so we're using circus as a means to convey the story.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that no other medium could.
Okay. So what's the name of the circus that you have created?
So this is being done by Flying Rabbit Circus, and the name of our show is Fox M.
Say that again.
So the show is called Fox M, and the name of the circus that we created to put it up is Flying Rabbit Circus. So that was created by myself, Jeannie Cartier, and Oz Rojas.
Okay. And how does your circus stand apart from other circuses?
Well, again, the way that we are blending storytelling with circus,
mm-hmm,
is a pretty groundbreaking thing. There are other circuses in the Bay that are incorporating story elements, but a lot of that is with dialogue and lines, whereas Flying Rabbit Circus, the show is wordless, but the message and the storyline is clear. So that means that anyone can watch it. Even if they don't speak English, they'll get the same story, the same experience.
Sort of like a silent movie, but with...
Yeah, kind of like that, but it's certainly not silent. There's exciting music, and I feel like you have to see it to understand, but it's very engaged storytelling.
So what are you telling, a number of different stories or one continuous story?
I'm telling one continuous story. So this show, Flying Rabbit Circus, is telling the story of growing up in an Asian American immigrant household.
Mm.
It's about my relationship with my father, who's being played by Oz Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also my acrobat. So it's a really interesting dynamic to watch played out, in the sense that he is trying to support me and throw me up in the air, you know, and at the same time he doesn't know how to support me.
Mm. Would you say that show mirrors your actual relationship with your dad?
Yeah, I would say that.
That's actually good because a lot of parents are not, they are not trying to lift you up when you come at them with a piece of identity that they're just not familiar with. So I'm glad that you have that in your life. So you mentioned that Oz is your support. And tell me about all of the different people who are helping you or who are appearing in this circus.
Well, so this is a two-man show. So
ah.
It's just me, more, which is a challenging physical feat.
Mm-hmm.
But it really allows us to focus in on, you know, my life from being born all the way through, you know, where he's getting older himself, and our exploration of what masculinity is, how to make it non-toxic masculinity, and how he learns about his own masculinity from seeing me discover it with a trans.
So, Landon, your audio is going in and out, so... for our listening audience, you're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. We're speaking with Landon Endo. Tell the name of your circus again.
Yes, it's the show Box M by Flying Rabbit Circus. It's going to be performing on January 10th at 7:30 at Spire.
And where is it going to be? I'm sorry.
Sorry, it'll be at Spire.
And where is Spire?
It's in Oakland.
Okay. And how do people get tickets to the show?
If you go on Instagram, you can see at the Flying Rabbit Circus. On Instagram, we have tickets there. Also, if you search Box M on Eventbrite, there's tickets available there.
Excellent. And now you're coming in loud and clear. So whatever you're doing, freeze in that position. And I want to get back to the show and the story that you tell. Was this a story that you wrote on your own, or was it a collaboration with Oz?
It's a collaboration with Oz, and it adds a lot of richness to it because he's telling his immigrant story, and he's playing really... his own father is how he took inspiration for the role. When, you know, when you come to this country and you're focused on survival, it's hard to understand how to support your son other than to try and make him be strong and have masculinity that looks a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to understand when he's sensitive and has different needs emotionally.
Right. Right. So was your dad an immigrant as well, or was that not part of the issue?
So I'm focusing on growing up in the immigrant family. So my part of the story that I contributed is kind of from the perspective of my character growing up. And then Oz did a really beautiful job of making a father, very three-dimensional character. And something important is that a lot of times in trans stories, the people who don't understand can be almost vilified.
Sure.
And we wanted to make sure that the father was equally as sympathetic of a character as the son.
Right.
You know, we're really rooting for him because he's trying to understand, and they have conflict, but they... enough to love each other through it and try to find a way forward together.
And I do like that approach because it is heartening to hear that no matter what, your parents love you even when they struggle with what they consider to be the choices that you make, or even if it's something as simple. Well, this is what I wanted to ask you. Was it harder to be trans or harder to say, I'm doing circus, to your dad?
Well, that's a tough one. It's difficult to say. I think being trans was harder, but deciding to pursue circus instead of engineering was
a close second.
Also a difficult conversation.
Because I know for a lot of immigrants, the idea of going into something unstable like the arts is sort of antithetical to what they desire for their children.
Yeah, that's super true. And so it's really a leap of faith mm-hmm. of them being able to have trust mm-hmm. that I can make a living doing it.
Sure.
And I can support my family as needed. And my career can look different. You know, it's not stability in the sense that they see it, mm-hmm. but it's right for me.
So have your parents seen your shows?
Not yet. We are actually going to be touring this show after this. So this January 10th performance mm-hmm. is the last local one in the Bay.
Okay.
And then we're going to be taking the show all over the place. Again, it's humanizing trans people, so we want to take it to red states. We want to take it to areas with anti-trans legislation. And I'd love to take it to my hometown because, there's a lot of more conservative people out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see if it would sway any hearts or minds.
Okay.
And then my parents could see it.
Okay. Where are you? Whereabouts are your parents?
SoCal.
Okay.
So it's like the red part of SoCal.
Understood. So for our listening audience, when, where, and how do they get tickets?
Yes. So if you want tickets to come see Box M, mm-hmm. it will be at Spire the Church in Oakland. That's kind of... it's like a Gothic church that was reconverted into a theater.
Okay.
And if you want to get tickets, you can search Box M SF January 10th. I'm sure it'll come up on the Eventbrite.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any people for whom cost is a barrier, please reach out to us. There's a link in the Eventbrite, or you can also, message us at the Flying Rabbit Circus on Instagram. We want to make it really accessible. So we have all sorts of discounts for trans people and queer people, people of color. You know, we want everyone to be able to see it.
Okay. And I love the name of a Flying Rabbit. Whose idea was that?
Flying Rabbit Circus. That was Jeannie's idea. We were hemming and hawing over a name for a while, but yeah, Flying Rabbit just feels right and it feels fun. And the Instagram handle is at the Flying Rabbit Circus. That's a little tricky for people sometimes.
Understood. All right. Well, Landon Endo, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so passionate about spreading this message of inclusivity. And I really hope people can come see this show. We'd love to see you there.
Excellent. People of Earth, you heard it here. You get to go check out the show and enjoy it. Stay tuned, because coming up next, we've got Brian Copeland and Julia Jackson talking about their New Year's Eve show. So stay with us.
Bye. It's a cozy table, isn't it?
And champagne, my dear.
delicious.
You like it?
Delicious.
I like it too. Yes, I do like it.
Delicious.
Yes, it is. You want some more?
Delicious.
I knew you'd like it. You always.
Delicious.
Oh, have some more. Get the waiter and hombre. Put on the paper hat. Get out the lamp. I even like the cork. Waiter, waiter, four. Keep pouring it. Every night, New Year's Eve. You got it. Every night we're gonna do this. I don't care. Lose the job, everything. What are you gonna do? Scabadoo.
That makes me laugh just listening to him. It's Jim Backus and Delicious. Also, Gabriella Roden and Cats on Mars. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Speaking of laughter, I've got two San Francisco treats on the line to talk about the things that are going to make you laugh. I have got two amazing performers, playwrights, comedians, writers. They're both just amazing. I'm going to introduce both of them. We've got Julia Jackson and Brian Copeland, and I want to welcome both of you. Hello.
Hello.
And for those of you who aren't already in the know because you've been, you know, sleeping under a rock, Brian Copeland is an award-winning actor, comedian, author, playwright, television, radio host. He's done amazing things. Julia Jackson.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing comedian. They've done stand-up shows and one-person shows and just plays and whatnot. And I don't even know how I managed to get both of them in one place to talk to me. So thank you both.
You know, this is very, very special, actually, the fact that I'm talking about it. I just realized I got back in October, I was inducted into the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame.
Yes!
And this is the first time I've been on the radio since then.
Wow.
I'm on the radio as a Hall of Famer.
That is a wow. There's a colorful, you're blanking in high cotton now. That was just like, I can't say what the blank is, but amazing. Amazing. So you guys have got an amazing New Year's Eve or New Year's show coming up. Tell the listening audience about it.
I'll let Brian do it. He's the producer.
It's a show that I put together every year at the Castro Valley Center for the Arts, mm-hmm. Which is a beautiful theater. I usually get six comics, and I emcee it. Mm-hmm. And we have some laughs. It's early. We do it at 7, so it's over by like 9:15, so you can get home before all the drunks are on the road.
Yes.
And we've got an amazing lineup this year. Frank Olivier from... with two or three times on the Tonight Show,
mm-hmm.
Sandy Steck, who big comic here and radio personality in the Bay Area, who's now moved to Los Angeles, and this is her triumphant return. The great Julia Jackson, of course. We'll mm-hmm. talk to you in a second. Mm-hmm. And Gail Beelum is going to be there. Candy Shaw, Donald Lacey, which is a name I think you may have heard.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a wonderful show. We've got tickets left, and come on out and laugh. Try to laugh out what has been a lousy year. That way.
So you mentioned the lineup. I'm familiar with Donald because he, you know, one of our own. But also got Julia Jackson. So Julia, tell us about what your trajectory is for this show.
For this show, for many of my fans listening, dare I say it, new material. So it really is a new year. Like Brian was referencing, it's been a heck of a year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like fodder for all the comics and, philosophers of the world, certainly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I think that's the thing Brian was highlighting. Like, we all need a break and, it's just going to be good. And all those people in the lineup, even if your listeners haven't heard of them, they are solid, solid comics. So it's going to be a professional show. And we all, each of the comics is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Different flavor. Sometimes you go to the punchline or something and you have three people and they're all like the same perspective or the same kind. Mm-hmm. Not this. Everybody's different.
Okay. I want to ask Brian, how long have you been putting this show together?
It's been years, years. I think we took a break for during the shutdown, and then the following year was Omicron, so we ended up having to cancel. But other than that, I want to say I've been doing it maybe 12 years.
Oh, okay.
Years, like that.
Okay, and there's just comedian after comedian after comedian. Have you ever had a mm-hmm. comedian more than once?
Everybody does 20 minutes. Sometimes I'll bring somebody back. You know, it just kind of depends. And Gaio did the show last year and just absolutely slayed. Frank, I did a Mother's Day show there, and Frank Olivier headlined that one for us.
Mm-hmm.
So as Julia said, it's a great, solid show all the way through.
Okay.
And, I mean, you more than get your money's worth. And as I said, we need some laughter. And the thing that people, as I mentioned earlier, really, really like about the show is that it doesn't go until midnight. I don't want to be on the road at midnight, do you?
No, I'm of a certain age, so now I want to be close to my home, near my refrigerator, near my comfy cozies. Yeah.
Yeah, here's a question for you. Okay, you sound like me. Do you remember the days when you used to leave the house at 10 o'clock to go out?
I remember the days.
Remember those days?
I remember the days when we wouldn't leave till after midnight to go out. You know, those days where everyone would collect and nobody had enough money for booze, so they'd do the drinking at your house and then go to the clubs. And now I look back, like, well, if I'm coming home at 10 o'clock and I see all these young people out, I just think, oh, God bless you. I'm so grateful for you.
I get a call at 9 o'clock. Hey, Ryan, come on out with us. It's like, it's 9 o'clock. Law and Order's coming up.
No, whenever I go to a
show, you'll be on in a minute. I'm not going anywhere.
Whenever I go to a show that ends early, I'm like, I'll be home just in time for Matlock. So
that's great. That's my new favorite show, by the way.
The one with Kathy Bates or the old
yes.
one? Oh, okay.
That was a pleasant surprise.
Okay. All right, let's go back to you guys instead of our random things. So when did you get into performing? I want to ask both of you. First, I'm going to ask Brian. When did you get into performing?
Well, I grew up performing, you know, doing stage stuff in grade school and high school and college. And then I started stand-up the week after I graduated from high school. The original Tommy T's opened up the street for me in San Leandro. And Tommy T is Tommy Thomas, and he'd been my my baseball coach when I was 10.
Uh-huh.
He opened up a club, and I wanted to try it. And so he let me come in and play around, and next thing I knew, I was traveling the country, playing clubs and concerts and then touring with people, Smokey Robinson, Aretha Franklin, Ray Charles, Natalie Cole, Dionne Warwick. I got to play the Universal Amphitheater. It's just been an amazing life in terms of that. But it's just something I fell into. You know, it was between high school and college. And I was going to be, I was going to Holy Names University, and I was in pre-law, and the plan was to go to Bolt and be a lawyer. Next thing I know, I'm telling jokes.
And your parents said?
Well, I was my grandma who raised me. And, you know, grandma's attitude was just, oh, let him be.
I like that.
Learn, let him be.
Okay. So that first outing, did you kill it, or did you just fall in love with it in spite of what the response was?
Well, I'll tell you, I used to go to the – when I was in high school, I had a fake ID that I got in Berkeley for $15, and I used to use it to go – said it was Dr. Copeland. And I used to use it to go to watch comics in San Francisco at the Punchline and at Cobb's, and that's why I really liked it, fell in love with stand-up. And that first Richard Pryor special. Where he talked about his heart attack and all that. Those are the things that turned me on to stand up. So when I decided I wanted to do it, I called Tommy up. It was like 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and I said, I want to try this. Do you have an open mic night? He said, no, but I have a comic sick. Can you do 15 minutes tonight? And I said, sure. Now, that's 18 and dumb.
Yes.
I've never done this before.
Sure.
It shows at 9, it's 6 o'clock.
Right.
So I sat in my room, I opened the paper, I wrote like 15 minutes of joke. I remember none of them. There were like 12 or 15 people in the audience, and they laughed. I don't want to say I killed it, but I did get some laughs. And it did feel good to know that I just made, you know, I'm 18 and I just got paid $50 for some stuff I made up in my room a couple hours ago. And from that moment on, I was hooked.
Excellent. Now I want to ask Julie the same question. How did you get into performing?
You know, I think like most comics, you know, the playground in the fourth grade, that was it, you know. Class clown kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You didn't even think of it as performing, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was just, that's what you do. And crack people up. And then never considered it, really. But then I was in Los Angeles in the 80s, and a friend said, hey, you should take us. It was like an acting class. It was a scene study class.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the exercises they did was have people sign up to do just 2 minutes of stand-up. And this was just for timing for actors.
Okay.
And there were very talented people in that, and everyone panicked. It was just me and one other person that did it.
Oh, okay.
And I slayed. I'll say it. I slayed.
Oh, nice.
And the guy said, I'm not saying you're in the wrong field, but you need to maybe check out the Comedy Store or whatever. So I did.
What was your first gig where you felt like I'm officially a comedian?
Oh, actually, it was when I got thrown out of Josie's Juice Joint and Cabaret used to be in the Castro.
Yeah, I remember it.
Oh, my God, I remember that place.
Right, and Monday nights, they had to come in open mic and a lady. And so I signed up and I did really well. And so I came back to get booked again.
Uh-huh.
And she started flipping through and she goes, I don't want you here. You make jokes about people being fat, eating cheese. And she shoved her sandwich in my face. I like went in the alley and started to cry. And I called my dad, who is a judge, by the way,
uh-huh.
I'm an attorney during the day. And he was like, that's great. That means you're really saying something. That was the day. That was the day. I was like, okay.
I don't know if it was worse. But the eating cheese, that's the one that would get me.
The eating cheese. And she had cheese on her sandwich. I won't say her name. Comics will know.
I love
it. The question is, was it government cheese? That's what
we're talking about. All right. So you guys are making me laugh. So I want to go back to the show that is happening December 31st at 7 p.m. at the Castro Valley Center for the Arts. So how do people go about getting tickets?
Well, the easiest way to get tickets is to go to my website. Go to briancopeland.com, and there's a link there that'll take you to the Castro Valley Center for the Arts,
mm-hmm.
and you can pick your seats. There's a lot of great seats that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So briancopeland.com, briancopeland.com.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give away a couple tickets?
You can. You know what's going to happen is when we're done with this interview, I will give away a pair of tickets.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. All right. So, but what I want to ask is, so after December 31st, when we go into 2026, which I truly believe will be an amazing year because it kind of has to be. I mean, you know, the bar is really low. But for 2026, what have you guys got in the offing? Do you have any glimmers of ideas that you want to float to our listening audience? Or shows coming up?
I got a bunch of stuff actually that's coming up. I do stand up obviously, and mm-hmm. for 20 years. But mm-hmm. in the last 20 years, in addition to that, I've been doing one man shows,
mm-hmm.
doing solo plays.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Genuine Black Man ran for years and years at the Mars in San Francisco and off Broadway, and I've got 7 subsequent shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be doing it. I'm bringing Not a Genuine Black Man back. It's about me being one of the few black families in San Leandro, when San Leandro was 99% white and mm-hmm. really racist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bringing that show back because of this is my pushback against the war on diversity.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I haven't done it in a while, and I'm doing it in different places. I'm bringing it to high schools.
Mm-hmm.
On the 25th of January, I'll be doing it at City Lights in San Jose. So I've got that one. I got my 3rd crime novel that I'm almost finished with. As soon as I hang up with you, I got to go back to it.
Uh-huh.
And that will probably be out at the end of the year. So lots of things that are coming up.
And Julia Jackson, what's bubbling around in your head? What can we look
in
forward to?
In my mind, Brian mentioned the March. So in I think about March, I'm going to be collaborating with David Ford and creating a snippet, at least, of another one-person show. So I've had a lot of success with that genre, but I haven't really written anything new in a bit. Like the rest of us, I've been having a nervous breakdown over the collapse of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a new thing coming up, so it'll be in the spring.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And if people want to find out more about what the two of you are doing, how do they go about doing that? We'll start with Julia this time.
JuliaJackson.com.
Okay, and Brian?
Really simple. Same place you'll go for tickets. Go to briancopeland.com, and it tells you everything I'm doing, where I'm going, the books I've got coming out, everything.
All right.
One-stop shopping.
Well, Brian Copeland, Julia Jackson, I want to thank you both for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right. People of Earth, you can laugh. You can laugh. And I'm going to give away a pair of tickets. And while I do that, I'm going to play some music. This is Spike Jonze and his City Slickers and Der Führer's Face. Run, 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 run.
when the Führer says, wie ist der Master Race? Wie heil, heil, right in the Führer's face. Not to love the Führer is a great disgrace. So wie heil, heil, right in the Führer's face. When Herr Goebbels says, we own the world in space. Wie heil, heil, right in Herr Goebbels' face. When Herr Göring says, they'll never bomb this place. Wie heil, heil, right in Herr Göring's face. Are we not the Superman? Aryan pure Superman.
Ja, wie ist der Superman?
Super duper Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Ja, das Nazi land is good. We would leave it if we could.
We bring the world new order. I'll hit this world new order.
Everyone of foreign race will love the Führer's face
when we bring to the world disorder. When the Führer says, we is the master race. We heil, heil, right in the Führer's face. Not to love the Führer is a great disgrace. So we heil, heil, right in the Führer's face. Not to love the Führer is a great disgrace, so be heil, heil,
right in the Führer's face.
Spike Jones and his City Slickers and their Führer's face. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I promised I was going to give away a pair of tickets to go see Brian Copeland light up New Year's Eve with Brian Copeland and his funny friends. If you'd like to win a pair of tickets to go see that on New Year's Eve at the Castro Valley Center for the Arts, just give me a call here. All you have to do is answer this very simple question. Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? The number here, 346-5376. Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? 346-5376.
He's free as the breeze, he's always at ease. He lives in the jungle and hangs by his knees as he swings through the trees without a trapeze in his BVD. He's got a union card and he's practicing hard to play the guitar. Gonna be a big star, yeah, he's gonna go far and carry moonbeams home in a jar. He ordered Chet's guitar core, COD, makes A and E, and he's working on B. Dig C and W and R and B, and me and a chimpanzee agree that one day soon he'll be a celebrity. Get it, get it, get it, get it out, guitar Zan. Jane with no last name, kind of homely and plain, but he loves her just the same, cause she kindles a flame and it drives him insane when he hears her sing. She really does her thing, it's her claim to fame. Come on, sing one, Jane. He likes to get drunk and sing boogie woogie, and it sounds real funky. Come on, your time, boy. thing, one monkey. He'll go. Let's hear it for the monkey. Woo! On Saturday night, they need some excitement. Jane gets right and the monkey gets tight, and their voices unite in the pale moonlight, and it sounds all right. Yeah, it's dynamite. It's out of sight. Let's hear it right now.
When I was a kid, that song, I used to love that song. It was Ray Stevens and Guitar Zan. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. It's that time of the month. I got my librarianistas du jour here to wow you with all things library. I'd like to welcome Michelle Waddy and Emily Jezurik Badran. Hello.
Hello.
So are you guys at the library right now?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay.
We're in my office.
Excellent, excellent. So tell our listening audience what you guys do at the library.
We're both librarians, but actually our jobs are somewhat different because I work in the Art, Music, and Recreation Department, so I largely work with like art books, art programming, anything, but also like sports is recreation, games are recreation, and of course we have music performances, which is one of the things I'll be talking about today. But we just have a lot going on in our department. But Michelle actually works in the Talking Books and Braille Center, so her job's kind of different from mine.
Okay, Michelle, how does your job differ from hers?
I'm also a librarian, and I work with people who are who have a visual impairment or are blind or cannot hold a book on their own. So we're also part of the National Library of Congress, and we send out books on cartridges to people through the mail for their listening pleasure. It's a free program. They sign up. And we have a catalog, and they pick books, and we send them audiobooks for them to listen to, and they listen to it, and then they send it back to us. We also have programs that they can participate. We are also very good at book recommendations.
Oh, cool.
So it's for Ellen and people who are also print disabled. So, like, if you are dyslexic or have some reading disability, we also help people with that, like in terms of getting books to them that so that they can enjoy reading also.
Very cool. Very cool. So you mentioned that you guys have a lot going on, and I don't want to cut into that. So let's get to it. What's going on?
Well, we're here today to talk about a program that we're doing in January called Hooray for Braille. It's January 31st. It's the first time that Talking Books and Braille has collaborated with Art, Music, and Recreation. So we're super excited about that because Talking Books is trying to collaborate more with our colleagues within our community and get the word out about what we do because some of the things that we offer affects many people in our community, and they just don't know that we're available with this great free service.
So talk more about that.
Go ahead, Emily.
Okay. Well, the part that Art, Music, and Recreation is working on is a collaboration with this fantastic musical group called Ensemble Humanité, And they actually contacted us, which is really unusual. And sometimes when people contact you, you get a little bit nervous because you don't know what they're going to be like to work with.
Sure.
And I can only say great things about Ensemble Humanité. Their whole purpose is to bring together world-class musicians to share music in ways that welcome blind, visually impaired, disabled, and just general community audiences. And having met Ayaka Isono, who's the pianist, mm-hmm. I really believe that that's their mission. They're just very, very committed to creating beautiful music and sharing it with this bigger audience. So I'm really excited about their performance. Ayaka is going to be talking. She is she's blind. She lost her sight suddenly when she was 29. And she uses Braille musical notation to play the piano. So I don't know how that works, so don't ask me.
Oh.
But you can find out if you come to the event on January 31st at 1 p.m., you can find out more about how Braille musical notation works and how she uses it to play the piano. So she will be talking about that, as well as performing. And Maki Ishii-Sowash, the violinist, is cited. They're both incredible. So I think it's going to be a great performance. I think it's going to be a wonderful way to highlight the versatility of Braille as well.
Yeah, and that's happening on the 31st of January?
It is. It's a Saturday.
Oh, okay. And do you need to register in advance, or can you just show up, or how does it work?
Oh, please just show up.
Okay.
and this is for everyone. So Braille is a tool for literacy, and that's what the library is about.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the numbers for Braille, it's like, people who learn Braille who are visually impaired or blind are more likely to be employed. They are more likely to be able to enjoy most of the things that are offered in our society, mm-hmm. as we try or strive or look towards being more open and more accessible. I mean, we still have a long, long way to go. But Braille does allow people, it is a tactile tool for literacy, and that's what the library is about. The library is about people through their enjoyment of reading and listening and engagement to become more literate about the world around them.
Now, I had always assumed that people who were blind just learned Braille, but is that not a universal thing? Are there blind people who don't have access to Braille?
Yes, there are blind people who don't have access to Braille. I feel a little uncomfortable talking about this because I am not blind, so I have not experienced this myself.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, there was a separate system of schooling for visually impaired and blind folks, and thus those children being separated from their peers were taught Braille.
Okay.
When things were mainstreamed, those children, like 85% of children now go to public school and are mainstream and are with their peers, and which is a good thing for sensitivity and engagement. But because of that, they're more unlikely to learn Braille.
Okay. So the rate of
learning Braille has gone down. We have a large amount of people who become visually impaired or blind as they grow older. And those people feel, and I used to believe this myself, is that once you got older, you lost the sensitivity in your fingers and that you would not be able to learn Braille. And that is a myth.
Mm.
You can get, it's going to be a little bit harder, but you can gain that sensitivity back. We all have the ability, unless we do immense damage to our fingertips, to learn Braille.
Okay. All right. So for our listening audience, what time will that show or that gathering happen? And where in the library will it happen?
So we're actually going to have a variety of events, events throughout the day. So it starts at 11 a.m. with a story time, which involves songs, finger plays, but also interactive print and Braille storybooks. Mm-hmm. That will be read by members of the California Council of the Blind. And then we also have demos and displays where you can have your name written in Braille and explore tactile maps and drawings. There will be just sort of people on hand who can answer questions, and also a tech showcase of high and low tech tools and devices to illustrate the power of Braille and related technology. And I have to tell you, I'm not super familiar with Braille, but Michelle introduced me to one of the devices, which is a Braille keyboard. Uh-huh. It was fascinating. I would really recommend that anyone come and check this out. Braille is very interesting. I wouldn't even say if you're sighted, but if you're sighted, it's also fascinating. It's also interesting. You might be surprised by just how engaging it is and how much you have to learn about it. So that starts the demos, the displays, the tech showcase, those all run from 11 to 2. Mm-hmm. And then while you're here enjoying that, you can catch the Ensemble Humanité performance at 1 p.m.
Okay. What is that? The 1 p.m.
That's going to be the musical performance that I talked about. That's going to be two trios playing music and also a talk about Braille musical notation. And that will be for an hour. And I believe they're also going to have a few pieces in there by composers who experienced like low vision and blindness as well. And they'll be discussing that a little bit. So there will be a little talking, a lot of music. It should be pretty great.
Okay. Now we still have a few minutes left. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on throughout the month, leading up to the 31st, what sorts of maybe ongoing things or one-off things you guys have in the offing.
Wow, I'm so glad you asked because I have a whole list here.
Okay.
So we have on the first Saturday of every month, we have the AIDS Memorial Quilt. So you can help construct it. You can, if you want to come and make a panel, you can do that. If you just want to come and help put the quilt together, it's really warm. It's like a lovely community gathering. Super welcoming. I would recommend anyone drop by first Saturday at 1 p.m. Then we have a talk about early San Francisco punk and new wave here at the Main. That's going to be Wednesday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. There'll be film clips of The Residents, Mutants, Sleepers, Flipper, Romeo Void. So that's going to be a good time if you're interested in San Francisco punk. And let's see what else.
Can I interrupt?
Oh, sorry. You go ahead.
Yeah. Can you say when the punk one is again?
Oh yes. Sorry. Wednesday, January 7th.
Okay. Now, go on.
Sorry, I'm so excited. I'm just talking and talking.
No, I want that. Keep going.
And then we have Drawing from Film, which is happening on Saturday. The 17th, January 17th, mm-hmm. and we're going to be, basically if people can come in and who like with any drawing skill level can drop in and, practice drawing. And we're going to be drawing from the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, ooh, which is a super fun, mm-hmm. silent expressionist film. So that should just be a great time. Let's see. And then we have some yoga on the last Friday of the month, I believe. Oh, so drop in at noon with your yoga mat.
And so if people have tiny brains like me and don't remember any of that stuff, is there a place online where they can see like a calendar of events?
Yes, we have our giant events calendar. And you can filter it by location, by type of event. You can also always contact us and say, I heard there was this event, but I don't remember when it is. Ah. You can call us up. You can walk into the library. You can email us. You can always come to the library with a question. No bad questions in the library.
All right. And now all of a sudden we're out of time. How does time is weird. But Emily and Michelle, I want to thank you so much. You've talked about a number of things that got me excited. I'm definitely going to try and make that punk thing. So I want to thank you both for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. This is wonderful.
And people of Earth, you know, they say like the internet will give you a million answers, but a librarian, a real human, will give you the right one. So support your libraries. It's the end of the year. You won't hear from me again until next year, but you have so many days left to go to the library and enjoy yourself. Until next year, my friends, I'm going to just say ta-ta and toodly-doo. Thank you.